Man, it's really good not to underestimate kids and what God is doing in their life. I just remember being younger and having some pretty amazing supernatural experiences with God when I was younger. And it absolutely branded me. And you don't see things in the Word where God will, whether it's Samuel, other people in the Word where God, you know, we just read last week about how, you know, Jesus did not want the disciples to hinder from the kids coming to him. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important because the devil is after the kids and so is the Lord, right? He wants the kids. He wants to get them early. And the enemy wants to try to mess them up when they're young. And, you know, everybody's scared about, well, you know, the world, all this bad stuff. And no, but, you know, the great thing is God is more powerful than the enemy, mm-hmm. right? We're always so worried about the enemy and everything else too, but, you know, God's pretty powerful too. He influences and impacts people very dramatically, amen? So he can definitely impact kids more than the enemy. So we kind of had a detour last week, but we're going to bounce back on authority tonight, and you know, kind of, I don't know if we're going to get through it or not because there's just a lot of stuff. But everything we see in the Bible is authority driven. Everything. When Jesus walked on the earth, he walked in what? Authority. Where did he get the authority? From the Father, and he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. So. You know, those things together, the Word says the Word and the Spirit, they're a powerful force, aren't they? The Word and the Spirit. So we get a revelation of what we have. It's pretty powerful. You know, I've said this before. I know enough about computers to be dangerous, and that's about it. You know, some of my clients will hold on. How do I do this? How do I do this? You know, I'm like, you know what? Let me get you a tech support. Customer service folks, I have no idea about the computer stuff. Let me get you over to them. Because the computer folks know what is in the computer, right? How to do it? What kind of bells and whistles are in there? I know some stuff, but there are just some folks out there, they really know. And when we get into the Word, it's like becoming like a computer expert on a computer. When we become more in the Word, then we become more of an expert on authority. What belongs to us. So that's really what the Word is. Getting more understanding about the Word is it just we just understand what belongs to us, right? We get into I just remember right around Christmas time, putting stuff together, you know, for the kids. You know, and what do you got to do? You got to crack open those owner's manuals or the assembly manuals, you know, and you know sometimes it's like there's no English here. There's some pictures and they're real fuzzy. So I had to get my engineering hat on and try to figure it out myself, right? Have some of those before and the clock's ticking and I don't go to bed till like 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm trying to figure it out. Well, the Word is going to give us all the answers we need, right? When we start to get into this, everything becomes more and more clear and we can understand things and, you know, people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Word says, right? We perish because we don't understand. And then what happens is we suffer for it, right? Oh, let's see here. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. We'll start there. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard somebody say that we have right now, this little thing here has more computing power than they had when, well, supposedly we went to the moon, right? And so, you know, everything now is becoming more and more powerful, right? I saw a picture where I had, of course, I'm from the 80s, so, you know, that's when I grew up, you know, during the 80s. It was kind of my stomp of time, but it had a picture of a kid. He had a boombox, you know, that's what we called a little cassette stereo thing. He had a telephone, and he had, I don't know what else, all these other bells and whistles and all kinds of other stuff. And somebody made a comment below, now we have all of those things in one package, right? We can connect everything. And so there's amazing how much stuff you realize now that we have out there. For example, just the phone we have. I mean, there's so many things in here. I mean, you got people that are, I mean, you can record with this stuff. It's actually a phone. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. You can actually call and talk to people. I know it's shocking. It took me forever to do text. I'm like, I'm not texting. I'm going to call people. I'm a real person. I'm against the middle of the line. Now I'm like, okay, LOL. Right? Getting all the verbiage down and everything on phones, because it is handy to do that. But it can call people. Believe it or not, there's a human on the other end of this thing. But we're just finding out so much more stuff. And as we as believers, we get into the Word, we read Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, and it says, and he called, talking about Jesus, and he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the devils and to cure diseases. Verse 2, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Interesting here that, and I always love to say, there's order of things. Preach the kingdom of God and the what? And to heal the sick. Why? Because people have to know healing's provided, then they'll receive it. But he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Guess what? They weren't even born again yet, were they? The disciples. Right. Yet. Until the end of Luke. Right? And when it says the Holy Spirit breathed in and they received the Holy Spirit. Luke 10, 17 through 19. This is the Amplified. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. Just probably the next page there. And it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. Now, I want to stop here for a second. There is joy in having authority in the Spirit. Verse 18, he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, which is Satan. Everybody say, over all. The power of the enemy. We have power over the enemy. Amen. If you're born again, right? And nothing will in any way harm you. Right? Mm-hmm. So there is no danger in taking authority over your enemy. And nothing will in any way harm you. Verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. So again, we have perspective. What is the power of the enemy? We talked about this before, but it's a good reminder. What are some things that the enemy we have power over? Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, conflict, deception, right? We don't have to be deceived anymore. And the devil's going to come along trying to... No, why? Because what did Jesus say? It's written, and it's written. This is the best way to help eliminate deception. Yes. Especially now, everything that's going on and, you know, in the news and everything else too. You read Jesus' words, especially in Matthew 24 and some other things, you're like, wow. The whole world lies in darkness, right? That means TV. Hello? Stuff is not as you think it is, right? And the Word even talks about it. You're like, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're this. No, it's what the Word says, right? The Word says that the enemy made this world as a wilderness. Let me just ask you this. The people in the world, how much direction do they have? I mean, what's their whole lot in life? Well, I'm going to get a good job or make money or make a ton of money, and then I'm going to retire, and that's it. I mean, that's the goal of life for most people, right? You're going to make money. you're going to hopefully make enough to have retire and relax and, you know, camp out in Tahiti somewhere. And that's it. Right? Because you start asking people in probatum, okay, then what? Then what? You know, okay, oh, that's it? Because to most people, that's success. But what about relationships? What about your health? You know, I mean, can you buy health? Well, you can go to the doctor and they can do as much as they can, right? I've known people, they worry so much and they get ulcers. Well, they got, and I know people that are just, you know, have a lot of money, but their personal lives are just a disaster, right? Relationships are a mess and everything. So, you know, the devil or the world system of success doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be success, right? Because you can have a whole lot of money, but sometimes you just can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, right? It just doesn't matter how much money you have or how much duct tape, you just can't, you know, red-green the thing back together. Red-green, he's a guy who always had, like, duct tape. He's a Canadian guy, everything was like, but then his whole thing was, like, don't find you handsome, they'll find you handy, right? So his whole, you know, cure for everything was duct tape. So anyway, but hey, if it works, it works, right? There you go. So, and even I saw people making, like ladies making dresses out of duct tape and stuff like that. So I don't know how I'm getting off on that. But anyway, the duct tape is a miracle, whatever, material. So, but it can't fix relationships, right? Duct tape can do a lot of things, but you can't use it on relationships. But my point is this, that, you know, Jesus is sitting there saying, you know, you're having all this fun with, you know, taking authority over it, but really it is you being born again or your name written down to be with me is the most important thing. And where does this authority come from? It comes from God. This is where people, I believe, in the denominational world, they miss the mark and they miss it, is we think that we have authority. No, we don't. It's given to us by God. It's given to us from, it's the Lord's authority he gives to us, right? It's like, I can't heal people, but Jesus gives us, works through us to heal other people, right? We can't take that. Well, this is my authority. No, it's not. It's actually God's authority, the Lord he gives us that we walk into, right? Because what did he say? It says the Lord, right? The Lord, he gave them authority. We don't have it. We get it from him and we walk in it, right? So it's given to us, like salvation. It's not something I produce or you produce. It's a gift from God that we have. Baptism, the Holy Spirit is a gift. He's a person that Jesus has gifted us. In John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about the ministry. He said, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do, and this is his ministry, and I'm going to leave, and he's going to take over. So, you know, he goes through these things in the book of John, right? So the Holy Spirit isn't something that you know, it's that I solely possess or I create. No, everything is a gift from God when we walk in it. That's where, again, the how can I say, the denominational folks think we're in pride. Well, you just think you have authority. No, it's given to me. I'm walking in it, right? Hello? So it's something that's very important, because that's where some people would get in pride. And that's why I think Jesus was doing a little test here. He's like, wait. Let's not get too excited about, you know, because it says they were really happy about this authority. Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. But I think Jesus is trying to bring them back into perspective. Okay, let's get back to focus on eternal life with me. That's the most important thing, right? Yes, I'm glad you're walking in your authority, but it all comes from me. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. And we see in the book of Acts, and we see everything that, we'll just say this, often in the Bible, when we see there's conflict between either God, the Lord has conflict between him and Israel, the Hebrews, or him and his people, or him and his the disciples or whatever, often they're not walking in the authority. What was the problem with the Hebrews when they left? They weren't walking in authority after that, right? That's why God told him in Joshua, said, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage, be of good courage. He told them to do that, and really what it is just walk in your authority. That's obedience. That's faith. Faith is just, I have the authority to do this. I have rights, you know, and it all goes back to, you know, one of my, and I know with all this, these jabs and everything too, and, you know, the, supposedly the COVID shots and all this other junk, you know, and I know firsthand that, I mean, it's obviously just on just social media, a lot of people have died. And for me personally, I've gotten more and more clients that have died because of this junk. Well, what happens is when you die, then your family has now, you know, whoever you leave finances to or inheritance or whatever, they have rights and privileges now as what we call beneficiaries. So when something happens to a family member, if they bequeath that to someone, let's say another family member as a beneficiary, now they have rights and privileges that were given to them. Did they earn that? No, probably not, right? They didn't. But what it does mean is that now they've got to take time to go contact maybe that family member that those things belong to. That's the same in the spiritual realm. You actually have things that belong to you because of the New Testament that people just aren't walking in. You know, Jesus died, set us free, gave us all of these blessings, and authority is one of those blessings that we have over the enemy. We have authority over sickness. We have authority over disease. We have authority over poverty. We have authority over the enemy and all of that entails. So we have these things, and there's so many people that are not walking in the blessings. You know, it's amazing how sometimes people, they'll have inheritance or they'll have these things, and there'll be people out there, family members are walking around. They don't even know that they have the blessings. They don't know that they're a beneficiary of an inheritance. You know, when we're doing it all the time, we're trying to locate people all the time. We can't find them. And here they are. They have blessings and they have things that belong to them and they don't even know it. Again, the Christian realm, too many people don't understand the contract. That's what testimony is. Or a will. We call it a will. A testament is something that is left to someone else. The Old Testament, now we live in the New Testament. It's something that Christ died, he gave us, he left us an inheritance. The acts of the apostles, but I would like to say it's the act of the Holy Spirit. You know, Brother Hagin always said that. He was like, this is actually the acts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is moving through people and doing things. Peter got up and got 3,000 people saved there on the day of Pentecost. He didn't save those people, did he? He was just moving his mouth. The Holy Spirit, the Bible talks about the Lord is the one that convicts the world of its sin, not you and I. We're the mouthpiece. We're just someone that is delivering it. But the Holy Spirit is working on our behalf. You know, there are too many people over the years, I've witnessed to people and things like that, and I'm just saying just things. I'm just coming to me, and I'm thinking, okay, well, that sounds ridiculous. Why am I saying that? Why am I saying that? And the person is crying. They're getting emotional because the Holy Spirit's working on it. The same in the book of Acts and in the Bible, we see those people are what? They're walking in their authority, and because they're walking in their authority, things are happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:6, it says, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold. And he's at the gate called Beautiful. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What is he doing? He's walking in authority that he walked in while he was walking with Jesus that day. Remember, and the book of Luke, we just read there, Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10. See, part of the reason why Jesus got the disciples was because he wanted to put into them and show them things so that when he was gone, they would go back and go, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, right? This isn't the first time Peter's done this before. Because we see again in Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, the disciples went out. It says they were healing people. They were casting out demons, right? So this wasn't something new that they were experiencing. But now Jesus is gone, and they don't have the safety net of him being around to help them and answer all the questions. Well, they do because they have a relationship with him. But now they have to walk into the authority themselves. Matthew chapter 28, 18, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Talking about Jesus here, he said, I've got it. So all authority in heaven is given unto him which later he gives to us. James 4, 7. I'm going to kind of go through some scriptures here real quick. But James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, we've got to resist the devil, don't we? We always kind of come up with these scriptures and they kind of fall short sometimes. You know, well, I'm just going to resist the devil and he's going to flee from me. No, you got to submit to God, resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you, right? Because are you the power source? Because really when you just say, I'm going to resist the devil and he's going to flee from me, really what you're saying is I'm going to be the one doing it. But when you say, I'm going to submit to God, that means I'm tapping into the power source, right? Where the authority comes from, and then I'm going to resist the devil and he'll flee from me. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he that's who is in the world. Now, it doesn't mean you're greater than the world. It means he that's in you, which is the power that's working through you, which is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is greater than, right? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, you know? It's easier us to think about things like, well, I'm greater than the devil. No, the power working in you, which is the Holy Spirit, is greater than the enemy. Hebrews 1, 3 and 4 says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So the Lord's name is way above the devil's name, cancer, right? Any other name we can have, Jesus' name is far above all that. What's that mean? It means when we use the name of Jesus and we submit to God, those things have to move. Mark 16, 17, and 18, this is one of my favorite scriptures. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils or demons. They will speak in new tongues. I love that. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they what? Will recover. Now the interesting thing here is, like Paul, the Apostle Paul, you know, he was on an island and here he is. He's got a bunch of wood and they're getting a fire going and he reaches out and we have a deadly snake clamps onto him, right? And Paul didn't go around, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. No, he just went over the fire, shook it off, and the snake fell in the fire. And then it says all the natives there watched him like waiting for him to fall over dead. And it didn't happen. Why? Because he knew his authority, right? Now, Paul isn't out there playing with snakes and, you know, drinking poison and look at me, I can do this, right? He's not out there tempting God and doing those things, but it happened. It says, if you drink any deadly thing, right? So let's say you drink bad milk, right? It's not like I'm going to drink Drano or Tide Pods or anytime any weird stuff soon, right? The point is, if something does happen, right? I was in Africa. I had to use my faith a lot. We ran out of clean water. Well, darn we were using tablets and everything. But we were also using wisdom too. We went into like these little local Garsen, which is this little place by Somalia there. And they have a fruit. It's called passion fruit. It's kind of like an orange or, you know, something they call it passion fruit. And so they brought it and I was going to drink it. And we're like, was this used with local water? Yeah. Okay. We're not going to drink it, right? Now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to go, I just use things cautionary because my system's not used to their water, right? So I use bottled water and some other things. And I did pray because, you know, there's a few times where there's some critters in boxes and we're sitting there with tribesmen and we're like, bless this mess, Lord. We're eating mystery meat here. But, it was good. You know, you have to use your faith. But then also, too, you know, I just know, all right, this my system's a little different than theirs, and I'm going to do some things different. But I'm in a different country, right? So different customs, different foods, and I love the food. I'm, I'm a garbage disposal. I'll eat literally anything. It doesn't matter. So I love it all. And they had great food there. So, but they had real Coke made with real sugar in like glass bottles. I was like, I don't drink pop at all, but I drank a lot of pop on that trip. I don't know what it was, just that real sugar with Coke and glass bottles, baby. It was wonderful. So back to old school. It was the good stuff, not the corn syrup and plastic bottles and all kinds of junk we have here. So it was just fantastic. So anyway, but yeah, I mean, you have to, sometimes you're in situations, you just like, God, I have to use my faith here. And if you come to my house and I'm cooking, then you got to use your faith. I'm telling you right now, it's like, I'm kidding. I don't have the gift for cooking. So, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I've come that you may what? Have life and have it more abundantly. Well, what is that more abundant life? That more abundant life is health, right? Live more life, health, and all kinds of goodness. I remember being in prayer school and down at Rhema, and we would have ladies that would have, you know, lumps on their breasts, and they would go to, you know, we'd pray for them, and they'd go to the bathroom, and it'd fall off in the bathroom, and, you know, people would have all kinds of stuff. I remember there one time we had a guy who had AIDS, and he was dying, and he was healed instantly, and we had people jumping out of wheel. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Why? Because God wants us to have life and more abundantly. And it's going to depend on what your religious mindset has abundantly. A lot of people, they just think the abundantly means I'm going to heaven. Okay, well, if that's what you want and that's what you define yourself as, fine. Nobody's going to argue with you. It's just you're missing out on some things, right? But the funny thing is the people will say things like, well, I'm not sure if it's God's will for me to heal, are the first ones to get in the car and go to the hospital. So, oops, right? No, if it's God's will, you should just lay in bed and let whatever happen, and just say, well, if God's going to heal me, that's great. So they don't really mean that, do they? It's just that they don't expect God to do something for them, so it's their way out, and they blame God for it rather than maybe I should just build myself faith and get some understanding in the Word, right? Because I'm not sure if it's God's will, but I'll get in the car and go to the hospital. What happens if it's not God's will for you to be healed? And the doctors heal you. Oops, now you're disobedient to God, right? So it's like, shouldn't you know that before you go to the hospital, right? Wait a minute, what if I'm disobeying God here and the doctors help me out and I live longer? No, right there we see John 10:10, that we have life and more abundantly, right? So what that abundantly means is, my definition, what God says in the Word is, number one, we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the trichotomy man, we see that Paul said that our spirit, soul, and body, all three of those parts, God wants us to be in good shape, right? So we're born again, that's our spirit. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, so we need to read the Word and get our thinking straight, and our emotions under control, and then our body, which is healing. And he provided that by 2 Peter 2:24. And also in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed in the Old Testament, New Testament, we're healed, past tense, right? So anyway, Ephesians 4:27, and give no opportunity to the devil. Give no opportunity to the devil. Adrian is quoting this earlier, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. When people come against you, remember, especially when they're being, you know, when they say weird things or do weird things or, you know, whatever, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual things, right? There are spiritual forces that are working behind things. I can watch TV and I can go, there are spirits involved. They're not good spirits. They're influencing people to do dumb things. And they have no idea that they're being used. That's part of having the revelation of understanding your authorities, understanding when things visit you and give you dumb ideas and that are not from the Word of God, you need to cast them down. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, so they're not natural. You're not going to go get guns and go shoot the devil down. It's not going to happen, right? I'm going to get a bazooka and we're going to blow up the devil. No, you're not going to do anything like that. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? Casting down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you're going to have things, they're going to come to you. What is part of spiritual warfare? It's casting down thoughts. Casting down thoughts. And bringing into captivity every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. What is the obedience of Christ? Right here. Get your thinking lined up with this. That's going to help you to walk in authority. You can't walk in authority. It's just like James talks about. Well, and I'll pull it up here. Just kind of came to me. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This is not very good. The next one here. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. I don't like that word. I don't like patience at all. But let patience have her perfect work, that you being perfect in entire, wanting nothing. Here we go. If any of you lack wisdom, I could use some more wisdom. How about you? Wisdom. Knowledge is information. There's a lot of information going on, but there's not a lot of wisdom. So I say you can hop on the internet and get all the information you want, but it doesn't tell you what to do with all that stuff, right? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Here we go. This is one I get to here. For he that wavereth is like a wave that is tossed with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, for let not that man think that he received anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That is part of warfare. That's part of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Pulling down strongholds, right? Man, I wish we could camp out here. I don't have time tonight, but maybe we'll pick up next week. But what do you think Jesus dealt with in the wilderness? The devil, right? Coming and saying, are you sure about that? Are you sure the Son of God? Are you sure about this? What was he doing? Trying to get him double-minded, wasn't he? Trying to get him to get off course. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And it says right here, a double-minded man is unstable and he won't receive anything from the Lord. If Jesus would have wavered and unstable people don't walk in authority, I'll just say this. And then, therefore, they don't see things in their lives, right? I don't feel saved today. Or there's a lot of days I don't feel saved, right? I fellowship with God. But sometimes feelings aren't necessarily a tall tale. Now, yes, I do sense the Holy Spirit with me. This is interesting here. When I was at Rhema, I did sales. And I travel and do things for Faith Library publications. And anyway, one of my good friends here, we worked together with. When he got born again, he had this amazing experience. He's like, I just felt on fire, my whole body. It was incredible. It was the most amazing experience. And we've been reading, the girls and I and Adrian, we've been reading at night, just some of the fathers of the faith. You know, we were reading A.A. Allen and some of those other people. The Generals in the Faith book series, and it was interesting. He's talking about his experience and how he just had this tremendous experience. And when I was a kid, I felt something, but when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit later, I felt like fire was running all down my body. I was just ignited on fire. Well, a friend of mine that I worked, he didn't feel anything when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He just prayed in tongues. Well, we had just the opposite experiences. Does it mean I'm not saved, but I have the Holy Spirit? And does it mean that he's saved and doesn't have the Holy Spirit? That doesn't mean it at all. So we can't base our on emotions and feelings, but we have got to fight the good fight of faith by, number one, casting down imaginations, don't we? And casting down imaginations is coming back to not being double-minded. When you're double-minded, you're not going to receive anything from God, right? There's a guy that we used to go to church with years ago, and he would just, he'd be gone from church for months, and then he'd come back, and he did this probably 3 or 4 times, and he'd get up and just cry, and, you know, I just messed up, and hey, we were welcoming back, you know, we were just great, but it was like he would be on fire for God, like, for 2 months, and then he'd backslide and be gone for another 4 months, and he'd come back and have this big repentance thing, right? Well, he's unstable. He's unstable in all of his ways, right? Because he's not consistent. He is not casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? Well, gee, should I be married? I don't know. Did I make the right decision? Did I do this? You know, am I a good person? I should just probably leave my job. I should probably just do this. I should probably do this. Unstable. Everything in your life. You're never going to see stability unless you begin to cast down imaginations, right? Well, how do you cast down imagination? Just like Jesus said, it's written, and it's written. I feel like this is a major problem with people is because they're unstable in all of their ways. And they're not casting down imaginations and thoughts that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, right? Oh, we can camp out there for a long time. I don't have time tonight. Father, we just thank you so much for your word and the authority you gave us. We thank you, Lord, that you're wonderful. And we're casting down imaginations and anything that exalts itself against you, Lord, so we can walk in your authority. We walk in your power, Lord God. We thank you that we can impact other people as well through our stability and passion for you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Also, too, I know that it's very important, and we just want to offer this too. You know, obviously, if you're not born again, you don't know Jesus, we want to talk to you. But also, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, you really do need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it's very powerful and it will change your life. I know when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I began to, the word began to become more relevant to me. It opened up the Spirit. I don't know what it was. I can't describe it, but when I received the Holy Spirit, when I read the Word, everything began to come to life. You know, it was funny because my pastor, he was a Rhema graduate too, and I was in the Book of John. I was baptized. I rededicated myself again when Adrian and I got married, just shortly about a month or two after we got married in '96, and then December '96 got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I was reading the Book of John, and I read it before, and it was kind of like, I kind of got it, you know, but when I read with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just everything illuminated. I looked at my pastor, I said, "Pastor, have you ever read the Book of John?" And he grinned like, just a few hundred times, yeah. It's incredible. It's amazing, right? Well, John has always been John. So why? Because God was opening my eyes to something, and it's because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you haven't, we definitely want to pray for you about that. You need to receive it. You need to get it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we will see you guys next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for all of the testimonies, and amen. Hear about more good things. Yes.